I don't think I shared this on Sunday, but we were in Venice and we were walking down the, it was the, we were going to leave the next day, and we went by this church and they were advertising a concert there that night, Vivaldi, and it's going to be a chamber concert. So I don't know if you're familiar with what that is, but has anybody ever heard a harpsichord? This was like a full-size harpsichord, and it's funny because you don't really hear it very much. It's very, what it is it's like a piano. It was the thing before the piano, and it actually has little things that pluck the strings. Now, a piano has hammers. I don't know if you know or not, but it has hammers. So what that makes it, the potential for is dynamics. So you can play it loud by hitting it hard. And makes the hammer hit harder. So you get dynamics, which is nice for music, to be able to get louder and softer. Harpsichord, you cannot do that. It's just one, it's just really quiet all the time. But anyway, had three violins, a viola. That's the thing, just a little bit bigger than a violin. And then a cello and a upright bass. And I mean, it was, they come marching in just so confident, and they're full professional, world elite musicians, in my opinion. Anyway, it was so much fun. And they played Vivaldi. Venice is a cool city. It's the longest running government that there's ever been. I didn't realize that Venice itself was a country. Anybody else know that? I didn't know that until we were on a tour and they were saying that. I was like, what? Yeah, it was actually its own country for 1,000 years. Isn't that interesting? And anyway, wasn't that a great concert? It was really, this cellist was like really dramatic and everything. And anyway, the whole city is dying. Basically, it's subject to, salt water and things. There's nice buildings, but they just, it kind of looks like it's going down. But when the music plays, it's like you could be there when it was first written. And it's still just as alive, just as beautiful. And I don't know, I think that's how it is with the music that we have of praise and worship, you know. I don't think we dance like David danced. I don't think we sing like David sang. I don't think we would understand anything about that kind of music. But it's all praise. It's all really from our hearts, isn't it? And it's so, it's like you could be there in the same moment. It transcends all the stuff that can decay is the song of praise, the song of worship, and we get to praise him. I want to talk about, and this is why we're here, I'm talking to the choir here tonight, but I want to encourage us in something that is directed to us in the Word. And there was an article in my Fox News app. Okay, I'll just admit, I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but I have a Fox News app, and I don't look at any of the other ones. But anyway, it wasn't a political thing. It was this guy in Australia discovered a crystal. Anybody see this ad or this story? Just in the last day or so. He discovered a crystal, and so they actually have a video, and I don't know how to get the Fox videos to download or whatever. Or I would have showed it to you because it's kind of cool. This guy's digging in the ground. He says, okay, we don't know how big this one's going to be. Geek. Full-on geek. You know, it's like he's digging in the dirt, and he sees a crystal, and he pulls the thing out. Supposedly, you know, man, it's like about this big. It's like a great big old crystal, kind of purple on the top, and I think they said it was worth like $9,000, which I guess is a lot when it comes to crystals. I don't know how crystals I wouldn't pay anything for it myself, but you know, but and that kind of goes to what I want to point out. It's like I'm thinking, this is not this guy's first search for a crystal. This is what this guy does. He's a geek. And I guarantee you, this is not his last crystal discovery. Right? Because he seeks crystals. That's who he did. That's what he is about, right? For him, seeking a crystal is not an event. It's a lifestyle. Right? I get that too. Anybody ever go on a vacation to the beach? And while everybody else is laying out on the beach or chasing crabs or whatever, or splashing in the water, he gets some guy with headphones on, walking around. You know, it's like, my problem is I really don't care to find anything. I'm not there. That's not why I'm there. But you know what? He's going to find something that none of the rest of the people on the beach are going to find. It's because he's seeking. It's a value to him. And so I want to look at the necessity. I want us to be challenged a little bit, because I guarantee you, no matter how much we are hungry for God, there's more to be drawn from this. There's more to seek. If it's not something we're doing, we're not finding. Because you're just not finding if you're not seeking. And when it comes to finding, though, what is it about what we're going to talk about that is important to seek? What is this? And our salvation, all of us, I believe, here tonight are saved, aren't we? We all know the Lord, right? We're serving the Lord, right? How'd that come to us? It came to us in a couple of ways, but it came to us with information, first of all, right? Because what it was, it was the discovery of a revelation, wasn't it? But it wasn't just the discovery of a revelation, it was the discovery of a person through that revelation, right? And here's the thing, that the deception is that was an event. And I think sometimes in Christianity and in the church, we can make it just an event. Have you been saved? Yes, I've been saved. Well, shoo. Aren't you glad? No. That's just getting started. It should not be your first discovery. It's just the opening of a door to other things. Everything about God, he's a deep God. He's a big God. There's so much to him. But if you don't really care, you'll just have a tea on the beach while some geek Christian is finding another crystal. I don't know, that's too many different things together, I guess, but you know what I mean, right? All right. Oh, praise God. Let's see if my... anybody have this up in your app? Is it coming up with... what is it? To seek? Okay, yeah. I must have... Mine must not have regenerated since Sunday. So there we go. I got seek. All right. All right, so... We're familiar with this, isn't it? The King James version of this is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? Let me go ahead and, I got ahead of myself. Let me go ahead and do this one first. So to seek, I'm going to look at three different aspects of this, though. And like we said, the word of God is the revelation of information, isn't it? And there is no faith in God at all without information about him, is there? And that's where salvation is like the front door of information into God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Shazam! We hit the jackpot, didn't we? If you act on it, if you do something with it, right? If it's a value to you. Otherwise, you can just leave it sitting there. We're going to see what happens because it's possible to actually see something and never do anything with it because you don't really value it. It's because you're not really seeking it, right? Or you might just see it and you don't even bother. It's like leaving a dime on the ground and see who picks it up, right? You know, it's like a lot of people see it, but who's its value to? What are you going to actually do with it? So three aspects of this that I want to look at that we're going to see from the Word because it talks about valuing and about some of the aspects that I believe we need to have with regard to what are we living like? Are we living like this is real to us? Because if it is, we're not just going to be halfway with it. We're going to be, if what we have is an experience that we really value, we're going to be wanting more of it. We're going to be seeking, kind of look and see what seeking actually means, okay? It's going to have to do with the Word, the kingdom, and the King. Can we just look at these aspects of it? I'm sure there's a whole lot more than this, but we have 27 minutes, okay? So, all right. Desire, the motivation for seeking. So let's look at this. There has to be a desire. It's kind of like the reason why I eat the rest of a bag of Lay's potato chips is because I've eaten one, right? You can't just eat one. You got to eat. I'm seeking more. I love what that did for me. So I'm going to do some more of that because there's a desire that wants me to seek out more. I just hope there's more in that bag. So I want to have some more of that good stuff. Listen at Psalm 19:9. I'm just going to go through a few passages that talk about the Word of God in a way. And this is really interesting because David was one of the guys that you would have thought he was already the most rewarded in a relationship with God. He should be able to just sit back and drink tea on the beach. But he's desperate for more. And it's revealing of somebody that actually knows God that they're not just content in what they know. They are desperate for more. Amen?
Yes.
Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What do you say? When God says something, he said, it comes alive in me. Right? More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. What is he doing? You know, sometimes I think we actually have to stir ourselves up in saying these things. It's kind of like Hunter was talking about. What was he? Man, it was so good what he was saying. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Well, why do you need to say that? Because you're feeling like you're a slave to fear. And you need to get out of it. And you know, it's so important to not just let a revelation about the greatness of God just lie dormant, but for it to come alive, it has to fill your mouth. And you start saying that. And now, I'll tell you what, there's clubs for different things that people like to do. And what do they do in those clubs? They sit around and talk about it, right? It occupies, because every time you're talking about something, you're getting motivated to do something to acquire it. Is that right? Now that's what David is doing. I think a big reason why he wrote those songs is because, man, it made it come alive to him. That thing that he's experienced, even by talking about it, it's making it come up in value. Yeah, bigger for him, right? More to be desired. You know, that's a truth. But until you actually acknowledge that, It's not doing anything for you. But when you start talking about, and this should be a reality for us, How much does gold motivate us? Our paychecks. Well, I get up out of bed every day and I go to work all day long or all around the world or wherever, whatever it takes to do this thing, because gold is important to me, right? And David's saying, but man, the judgments of God, the things that God says, they're more to be desired. So there should be some kind of motivation to do something to acquire them in a day. Is that right? If our day's going to be occupied with other things, and it's not that we don't go to work. I mean, that's a responsibility, and it's something that's very important. We got to provide for our families and everything else, but where does God's word fit into that? You know what I mean? And if so, there's going to be some not just appreciating what we already have, but saying, I have to get more. Is that right? Okay, let's look at this. Proverbs 3:13. A little bit more of this word stuff. To seek wisdom, understanding must be gratified. So there needs to be this like me and my potato chips. It's like, there's got to be, and I want to challenge us in this. Are we actually being gratified on a daily basis from the word of God? We cannot be if we're not looking, if we're not seeking, we're not getting. Right? Happy is the man who finds wisdom. What's that? That's gratification, isn't it? Why are you so happy? Well, it's because I found some wisdom. It should be doing something for you. Should be able to tell by you the look on your face. Is that right? There should be a change in your countenance when you're finding this. Is that right? And the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. He said, you know, all that other stuff, it's just not even a comparison, right? Okay. Psalm 119, 105. And what is 119 all about? The words of God, right? What God says about stuff. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That means, what is it about food? Man, it'll get you up off the couch. Right? Right? And depending on what you happen to be craving, man, you'll drive clear across town, won't you? It's like, just, what? Now, there should be some correlation to a gratification. And what happens when you finally sink your teeth into that, what, Levi? T-bone, there you go. When you finally sink your teeth into that, especially when you've been meditating on it all day, what happens? Man, all the salivation glands just go haywire, and you just completely savor it, don't you? There should be something correlating in the seeking or the desire. We're just looking at the desire of this too, right? The desire. There should be a reward there that we're drawing from. Amen? That says, man, I'm not going to let this day go by without me getting what's mine. And I might have had a good time with it yesterday, but I believe there's so much more. Amen? All right. So that's the word. Let's look, because Jesus calls it the kingdom. Isn't this interesting? So I was looking at what the kingdom actually is, and it's like the reign, the dominance, the ways of God, the preeminence of him. You know, Jesus said the kingdom is near, didn't he, when he was coming? There's a way that's aligned with him. He said, when you begin to see that, it becomes the highest priority over anything else. Let's look at this. Matthew 6:33, and that's the one I thought I was getting started with. Okay, you'll forgive me. This is the new literal translation. I was thinking Corvettes. Okay. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will do what? He'll give you everything you need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what's cool about his righteousness? He says it's ours. He says it's ours. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? But that takes a revelation in itself. It takes us seeking that out. He will give you everything else you need when you seek the kingdom, right? Let's look at Matthew 13, 45. Y'all doing good?
Yes.
So, on the lookout. To find, you have to be on the lookout. In order for you to discover that thing in the sand, that crystal, you have to be looking for it. Otherwise, it just won't be there at all. Have you ever lost something, like in the house? Depending on what it is, I'll just confess, depending on what it is, I'll look for it or I'll just bring up my Amazon app. Is that too bad of a confession? It's like, and then here's usually the problem with that. As soon as I order it on Amazon, the second one, I'll find it was laying right there on the table, right where I could have seen it, you know. Because a lot of times the things that you need that maybe are something that's required even, they can be in plain sight until you're actually looking for them directly. I don't know how good an illustration that was, but let me read Matthew 13, 45. Again, the kingdom of God is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. So this guy, he has a business based upon this, and so it's dependent upon it. So he's actually looking for this. But what happens when he finds a choice pearl? He discovered a pearl of great value. He sold everything else he owned and bought it. He said, when you're actually searching for the kingdom of God and you begin to discover it, it's going to take priority over all the other values in your life to some degree in order for it to be acquired. Now, it's like you might not actually have to give up everything else, but it's going to have to take priority over everything else. Or it's there on the table, but you're just not getting it because it's not of high enough priority. Does that make sense? Again, Matthew 13:44, to acquire will be prioritized above. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. So Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom, but what does it look like to seek it? There's going to be a looking for what it is, and when it is found, this isn't just any kind of looking around for something that you're going to order on Amazon if you don't find it right away. This is, no, I'm giving up everything else to make sure that I acquire this. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, what I want to look at is the king also. So there's the revelation. There's the dominion of, but then there is the king himself that must be discovered. What are we seeking for? Sometimes people say, I just want him. I don't want any of his stuff. I don't want any of the blessings. I just want him. That's a nice thought, but they all go together. He is the Word. And the Word provides everything that we could ever need, right? And to seek his kingdom is to become a part of a provision that makes all the things you could ever need or desire become yours when you seek the kingdom first. Is that right? So you can't find him without finding all that he is, which he's his word, he's his kingdom. But there is the relationship side, because if you are just seeking the stuff and not going after him, you're not actually going to get the stuff either. Does that make sense? So let's just look at it, John 5:39. Until the search is for the king, it is lifeless. You're going to acquire stuff, but it's going to be empty. It's not going to have life to it until that stuff is wrapped up in him. Okay? John 5:39. You search the scriptures. And remember, this was such a great example in Jesus' time, because I think it's one of his biggest frustrations is the Jewish people were the most learned people of the time. They were so educated. They knew the scriptures better than anybody else, didn't they? As far as seeking the word, actually, maybe even seeking the kingdom, that because they saw the Messiah as setting up a kingdom on this earth. As far as seeking those things, they were probably the most adept, the most given to it, the most proud of their ability, right? To seek those things, and yet they missed him. I think that's a big part of our daily pursuit. What are we seeking? What is it about that pearl? What is it about that treasure? What is it about that revelation from God? Because, I've grown up around a lot of this, and I've seen a lot of people get puffed up in their revelation, and I'm not hearing any relationship. You know what I mean? It's like if that revelation isn't drawing you into this humble relationship where it's only because of his mercy and his grace that we're there, right? That's a discovery of something. You found something, but it's not the crux, because you get the crux and you're going to get him. Amen? And unity with him. Isn't that good? So, John 5:39, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Don't you like that? That's a really good passage, isn't it? It's like when we're seeking out, and it should give us motivation, it should give us gratification, it should be those things that drive us to man, I'm going to seek out some more today. I'm going to be a geek about this. I'm going to get the latest technology to discover. I was thinking about the guy on the beach again. I'm going to, whatever it takes to find, I'm going to make this my priority. And how I plan my life, I'm going to make it around this. Amen? Even in the presence of Jesus, eyes can remain closed. So let's look at Luke 24. And I've talked about this a little bit already, but let's look at this. How many would think this story is really an amazing story to me, because Jesus spent 3 years with these disciples, didn't he? And you would have thought that they could have heard his voice on the other side of the marketplace talking amongst a whole bunch of other people, and they said, oh, it's Jesus. You know what I mean? But they were so ensconced in their times, in what he had just died, according to what they saw. And even though he told them several times he was going to rise from the dead, he told them flat out, didn't he? He said, I'm going to die, they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to rise from the grave in 3 days. 3 days goes by, he shows up, and they don't believe it. They're not even seeking him anymore. Their eyes aren't even open to behold him. Why? It's because they're so overwhelmed by what they're going through. And I mean, this is something that the world, what we're experiencing, it can cause us to be blind to something that's right in our face. Jesus is here right now, and we can just ignore him altogether, because doesn't he see what's going on? Doesn't he know that he just died? You know what I mean? All right. So these guys were walking down the road with him for a long time. He's not on the other side of the marketplace. He's right there with them talking. And he's explaining to them from the scriptures in the Old Testament how he just fulfilled all those things. And they still didn't. And here's what I want us to see. Because what happens in seeking, it's a revelation of something to the eyes that needs to take place. And it's not going to just be a physical thing that we're doing. It's not going to be a religious thing that we're doing. It's going to be a supernatural, spiritual impartation that's going to take place because of a heart that's actually in pursuit of him. Amen? So let me read this. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. It's funny. All this is happening. He just talked to them for a long time. He does all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, light bulb. Isn't this amazing? Suddenly, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Now, what I want us to see in this is there's something that we've been looking at already that we have to go to again and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me see something else, because I desire, I'm seeking this. Amen? And he'll open our eyes to it. At that moment, he disappeared. Isn't that funny? So two things happened at once. He appeared and disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? There's something going on in the heart that longs to know more, that just needs some seeking to enable it. Amen. I want to encourage us in this, that there's an encounter with Jesus to where something about him becomes revealed. Amen. And let's don't take it for granted that just because we've heard a gazillion sermons, and here's where I want to challenge us in this, is what they were doing was they were talking about a lot of information that they were getting from somewhere else, and they were not even hearing from him directly themselves. I want to encourage us. There is so much. I want to really directly challenge us in this. There's so many opportunities to listen to somebody else's revelation from the Word of God. And it's good. Man, there's so many great teachers. But did you know that the Holy Spirit came to reside on the inside of you and to become your teacher? And the best things you get from the Word are going to be what comes alive from the Word itself to you. Somebody else's revelation is good, but Jesus wants to reveal himself to you directly from the Word. He didn't say, and the Spirit of truth is going to come and abide in somebody else, that you're going to need them to be your intercessor from this point on and your priest. No, Jesus is our priest now. Yes. Amen. And there's discoveries. I'll just tell you for myself, the greatest discoveries I have from the Word of God are not what I got from somebody else. They're because I took some time and I set it aside and I made an appointed time because it's important enough to me. I said, God, show me something from your Word here. It started off with just about it being worship. The first church we had was Worship Life. It's like everything should be about worship. So I started saying, okay, show me this, God. And every day I would read from the Word of God, and it came alive. Everything's about worship, about honoring God and everything that we do. And that's just an aspect of it. But there's something to discover in him that you will never see until you seek it, until you seek it. Not let somebody else seek it for you and say, nod your head to them and not really get it. Just assent to what somebody else got. Is that right?
Yes.
He said, no, I've come to be your teacher on, and so I'm not saying don't ever come back to church or listen to what I have to say. But, you know. You hear what I'm saying, right? Okay. Because we need to be into it ourselves. And there's we need to be open to reception, but there's nothing that replaces this. And I just want to encourage us in that. We need to be humble and receive teaching. Come back. But nothing I can tell you will replace what you can get from the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you're here, it needs to be a reception from the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Okay. Can I give you a couple other things real quick? Though beholding God unseen must be sought. I'll just summarize this. In Romans 1, he said, God has been in front of the whole world from the beginning. Did you know that all across the world right now, just in nature, God is obvious. He is blatantly visible to the most agnostic or atheistic or whatever other people that try to deny him. Every day they exist because of him. He's there to be seen. But until he is sought, he's not God, right? They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Now, I know that we're talking about the world out there, but what I want us to see is there's something about God that's right in front of us that's going to require spiritual revelation for it to take place. And so let's look at Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given. You seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened unto you. You could invert each one of those, right? And you could say, so I say, if you don't ask, you're never going to get, right? If you don't seek, you're never going to find. Now, what it's also saying is, in the seeking department, but every other else, well, I just want to do this quickly, but it's keep on seeking. You have to become a geek about seeking. Say this, I'm a geek about seeking. There we go, right? This is who I am. I don't care if people laugh at me. I'm wearing my headphones, and I'm going to seek until I find, right? And I'm getting rid of everything else that would keep me away from this. All right, I just want to end it in Ephesians 1:15 real quick here. And this is the prayer of Paul for us. I just want to, let's embrace this for us, right? And he doesn't pray for stuff. He doesn't pray that they would be blessed. He prays that they would have eyes that actually see what is already there, that they will not see until they seek it, right? Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is he talking to? He's talking to some people that have everything right in front of them that they have received in Christ, right? Says, I give thanks for that. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He says, it's already there for you, but I pray that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He's praying. He's praying that what is obviously in front of them already would become revelation to them that they can apply. Amen? And I believe what he's including in this prayer is that they'll actually seek that out. Because it doesn't matter. Even revelation, we're getting revelation right now. And each of us are going to do different things with it. It's up to us what we do with this even right now. Am I going to make it a little adjustment? It doesn't take much. You know, this is something I found out with learning music. 15 minutes a day, just consistently given, and you will change. What the irony of that is, you can't just do 8 hours once a month and think that you're displacing that. No, it has to be daily consistent, given to something. But how does that ever happen? It has to rise in priority level. You say, okay, I'm gonna make do this instead of sit around and do something else. Watch Fox News on my app. No, I'm going to have to take time to actually give priority to this with this expectation that I'm going to get revelation from the Word. I'm going to get revelation. God, give this to me. And we ask it by the Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me in this today. Amen? Help me to have revelation of your kingdom, of what you're doing, what you're establishing. Amen? And help me to see Jesus. Help me to have relationship with him like never before. Amen? Now, here's the challenging part. If we're not doing this, we're not finding. Because if you're not seeking, you're not finding. Is that right? And again, I'm so grateful that I'm just talking to the choir here right now. It's what you're already doing. But man, let's be encouraged in it. Amen? Let's sing in harmony. Let's do this. Let's grow up. And you know, Paul talked about growing up into this perfection together. That's what we're being taken to.